You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are, on the internet, on the radio, wherever you're at. At home, we just greet you, and we're honored to be here with you. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. Pastor Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we're on here every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we mention this once in a while, don't we, Pastor Don? That right now somebody's probably listening to this program. They've never listened to it before. So we greet you and welcome you, and we trust that you'll receive something in your life that'll help you understand what God's wanting us to know in these last days and all that. And so we're honored to be here with you. Amen, Pastor Don?
Amen.
So stay tuned in with us if you can. And like we always mention up front, if you can't stay tuned in, you're out someplace, well, we do offer CDs or tapes, whatever you want. And so if you'd like to have that, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to this ministry. And the name, the check would be made out to, a Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out. So
thank
you, just make
Lord.
Out a love, whatever you want to get, whatever the Lord tells you, just and do it, and we'll be glad to mail it and get. Let us know whether you want a tape or a CD, and whatever you want, we'll make sure that we do that for you, okay? Hallelujah. So we ready, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Amen. We're ready. I'm ready. How about you?
We're thank ready
you,
here.
We're blessed to be on this radio program, this broadcast, also on the internet, WCNO.com. Right now at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. So you can listen to us on your computer or your whatever you're carrying that you can get on the internet with. Amen. There's so many devices now.
Even your phone, huh?
Everything. There's so many things, you know, that they're right. Coming up with. You never know what's going to be coming out next.
Technology.
But, technology, boy. Right. Boy. Amen. So we can't keep up with it, can we? Especially
no, we can't.
At our age. But, you know, praise God there. Are people that can't.
That's right.
So I just want to say hello to everyone out there, and I want to bless you, and I want to say hello to our friends on Andros Island, Apostle Roscoe and Prophetess Audrey Walks, as they minister over there and as they bring the Word of God to that island, to the Andros Island.
They're temple, walking Conch Sound, aren't they?
Temple of God, amen, getting ready to build the house of the Lord. Amen, they have a house of the Lord, but they're going to build a real building,
that's right.
House, amen.
They've been in a tent for quite a few years now.
Yes,
so
they've been in the tabernacle, amen.
Tabernacle.
Well, I just want to talk about the tabernacle here. Well, you know, really the tabernacle is us, isn't
that's
it?
Right.
We're the tabernacle.
He dwells in us.
Mm-hmm. But before I do that, I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, and we have a service this Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we, you know, we spend time worshiping the Lord and teaching and prophesying, and we have fellowship, and we have dinner. We just have a wonderful time. The day, it's the Lord's Day, and we just
amen.
Spend that time with the Lord. So if you're going to come to visit, just plan on coming, and if you can just stay as long as you like. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 10, and then we also have services on Friday night, and that's at 7 p.m.
Our Shabbat service.
Our
yeah.
Shabbat service, and we mm-hmm. have communion, and mm-hmm. spend time seeking God's presence. And on Saturdays, course, we have a Bible school at 4 o'clock. So today we're going to be talking about, you're going to be teaching on the...
Today? Well, we're going to review the teaching we did on eternal judgment out of Hebrews chapter 6.
Right, Hebrews, eternal judgment. But the next one we're teaching
Sunday
on...
Sunday is going to be the preeminence of God.
Preeminence of God. That's
Sunday.
A powerful one, amen? So we need to know about the things about the Lord.
Preeminence and preexistence of God.
Preexistence
yeah.
of God. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning.
Right in the beginning.
Go right back to in the beginning. In the beginning. God was and God always was, isn't he? Praise
yes.
Wasn't he?
That's right.
God.
He's always been there.
Amen. So I'm going to give our phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And if you're looking for a way to find the church, I suggest you call that number because the church office number, we don't give that out as much on the radio anymore because
we're not here a lot.
We're not here on the weekends. Very seldom do you catch us in the office. We're, you know, we're at church. We're ministering. We're doing other things for the Lord. And so if you want to know how to, this phone is with us all the time. So we can get back with you right away if it's emergency or if you need to find out how to find us. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to just look at this Psalm 15.
Okay.
It says here, we talk about tabernacle, and the name of the church on Andros Island is called Temple of God.
Amen.
And so tabernacle means temple. It says, Lord, who is all capitalized in my Bible, my King James Bible, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
Amen.
Wow. You know, the holy hill in Jerusalem is where they're going to...
Mount Moriah.
Is that tabernacle is going to be rebuilt one day.
That's right.
I mean, it's been destroyed a couple of times, but it's going to be
rebuilt
again
one day. That's what the Bible says.
It says, here's the answer. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's the key. In his heart.
Pure of heart, yes.
So we must have a pure heart. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people don't want to receive the truth because the truth hurts sometimes.
Yes, it does.
But if you receive the truth in your heart, you know, God will heal you and you won't have a wounded heart. Mm-hmm. Your heart will be totally healed. It won't have a band-aid on or a patch or a stitch or anything else because God's spirit is like a supernatural sword. His word is a sword, two-edged sword, and it will pierce our heart and it will bring healing to our heart. So it says here, we must, who speaks and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, God's word is true, and so we have, that's why we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of the Spirit.
That's it.
The mind of the Spirit comes from God, not from our thoughts. Or our hurts or our emotions. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
It comes from God. And then in verse 3 it says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, who is your neighbor?
Anyone around you. Next door neighbor.
Around you.
Wherever you're at.
Can be your neighbor.
That's right. Downtown in a store, you meet somebody.
You can be your neighbor.
That's right.
You know, so it doesn't mean that it doesn't say your best friend or your best neighbor. You know, oh, I like this neighbor better than I do that neighbor. Or I talk to this neighbor and I don't talk to that neighbor. No, that's not what it's saying. It says your neighbor. So when the Bible says that, he's talking about, you know, whoever's close to us.
That's right.
Is our neighbor. If you're walking down the street and you're by somebody, that's the one's close to you, is near to you.
That's right.
He's close to you. So your neighbor, it says, in whose eyes a vile person, see, contended, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not.
It's incredible. It's a strong word, isn't it, for all of us?
And the last verse here, it seems a little bit out of the context of it, but... you know, we're talking about God's preparing a bride.
Yes, he is.
He's preparing a bride, and so he wants a holy bride. And verse 5 says, he that putteth not out his money to usury.
For interest,
nor taketh reward against the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's right.
He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
That's right. So we got to do what God says in his word, don't we? His word is our roadmap. It's our foundation. It's our standard. This program is called Raising the Standard, but the book that we have, and we use the King James Version only, this book is our roadmap, and it also puts boundaries in our lives. We should all understand that. We have boundaries that God wants us to stay within. That's what the purpose of the Word of God is for. That's what the Torah came, the first five books of the Bible, was to teach and instruct what? All of us, how to walk a holy life with the Lord. And so there's boundaries. You know, if you were in sports like I was in sports,
boundaries.
There's boundaries. I played baseball. There was a left line and right, for left field and one down right field, you know.
And, you know, sometimes
if you step out of that, well,
they try to even put God
that's right.
in boundaries. And we can't do that. This verse, too, is very key. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness.
That's right.
That means you're doing things right in God's eyes. You're listening. You're obeying. You're doing what Jesus said. You're doing what the Word says. Read the letters in red.
In red.
Jesus said that, right? He said
that's
to
right.
love. He said to love your
enemies. Love your enemies.
Oh, my.
Love those that persecute you and hate you.
Right.
Amen.
So he that worketh righteousness, and righteousness is doing like what you said, doing the right thing.
That's right.
Doing the right thing. And speaketh the truth in his heart. See, your heart knows the truth.
That's right.
Your mind tries to figure out things and tries to, and even many times people use the Word of God and try to twist it.
To see what they're doing or whatever, yeah.
Right, or to look for something else.
Some way out of it or whatever,
some way out. But it's in your heart. See, if you really read the Word and you really seek God with your heart,
with the heart, that's right.
Then, you know, God is going to speak to your heart. Because God doesn't speak to our mind. He speaks to our heart.
To our spirit man, right.
To our spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
Or else we wouldn't be born again.
That's right.
Because it's with the heart. The Bible says man believeth.
That's right. I think about a lot of things that people do. You know, I play a lot of basketball, and you know, there's a court that you're on, talking about boundaries.
Boundaries.
And if you have the ball and you dribble it out of bounds, you turn the ball over to the enemy, the team that you're trying to beat. And so it's a picture of what?
That's good.
When we get out of boundaries with what God says, we're out there where God's let us, he'll let us go if we're out of the boundaries, and what happens? The enemy's right there to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have to stay within his boundaries. And we should have those bounds in our lives.
And that's like opening the door
sure.
to the enemy.
That's
because
right.
we've moved out of the boundaries of what God's Word says.
That's right.
So we need to know our boundaries, and we need to stay in them and stay in the boundaries of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, we had a wonderful Purim presentation last
awesome.
Week. It was awesome. And how many people do we have all together? 60, what was it?
Oh, quite a number.
Somewhere between 65 and 70 people were there. So it was wonderful.
We had a nice number. We had a nice group of people.
Yeah, we did.
Kids had a good time. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
The dancers were beautiful. Just the whole thing was just at the food. You know,
it was
everyone
wonderful.
Pitched in. Everyone did their part. And
it was incredible. Wonderful.
It was
time.
Incredible. So, and now we're looking forward to Passover.
It's coming up.
So mark your calendar. Passover is
it's less
four,
than a month away now.
4 weeks. So we're in preparation now for Passover.
And Seder.
Right, Passover Seder. And I believe that's going to be even more people than we've had in the past going to be so if you just need to give us a call, because you must RSVP for Passover.
You have the date on that, don't you, already?
Did
you say
so,
was it
yeah.
was it April 19th?
It's 19th, I believe. April 19th.
Well, anyway, you can call and firm that up, but I think that's what we decided on. But you know, the last 2 weeks now we've talked about Purim, and there's a lot in it, and probably a lot more than we could talk about. But one thing I wanted to conclude with, and I mentioned last week, there's a very prophetic implication with all this to the future, way out in the future.
April 19th,
okay,
yes.
April 19th.
5 o'clock.
Way out in the future, and it's primarily for the nation of Israel, we know that, because what we're going to read here, God was talking to the nation of Israel. So we need to understand some things, what he wants us to know. And so God has a memory with things, and he has a timeline for everything that he's on. We hear about the Kairos times and all that. You know, there's a certain period of time, and there's Kairos moments all during that time that God puts in place. And so that's what the Jacob's trouble is all about. And we've got these charts in the book that we're offering on the radio every week if somebody wants to have it. This book we wrote about the pictures of the Messiah and the prophetic calendar and all that. And we offer that to you for $25 plus $3 maybe shipping and handling. And send us a note or a check, and we'll be glad to mail that one of those books out to you. But anyway, if you look at all the things that God's put in place, the timeline, the picture is so vivid when you make a chart and you look at it. And so we're on a timeline with the Lord right now. We know that. And we're coming up quickly to the end of the the end of 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth and all that. And so we know we're getting near the end. And so God has something about God that's so incredible. Whenever he has anybody, any kingdom, any nation that comes against the nation of Israel, he remembers that. And then he somehow just includes this in his thought for Israel in the last days and all that. And I was thinking about this the other night. You know, we know that in the book of Esther, that the Persians were the ones that were going to attempt to destroy the Jewish people through that man named Haman and all that. And it was called the Persian Empire. Well, we got a nation over there right now in the same area. It's Persia. And the name was changed to Iran. They want to do the same thing. They want to just destroy the nation of Israel. They want to take their land and run them out of their land. And so we have another enemy of the Lord right here. And so God remembers these things. And so I think about this. So what happened in Esther's day is a pattern of what's going to happen today. And there may be a war this year with Iran before the year's over, you know. And I've been studying for quite a while about Gog and Magog. Different people have different opinions. But as I've studied this, I really believe it's going to happen before Jacob's trouble starts. And so what's going to happen there? It's going to be like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. They won't have to lift one hand. But all this enemy from the north is going to come down. And what's going to happen? God's going to bring fire and brimstone from heaven, wipe them all out, and the world's going to take note that, hey, there's a God out there that's real. And so we might be right on the verge of that. And so we have to keep all that in mind. But I want to finish up talking about these prophetic things because events has happened down through time, these Kairos times with God. And we know that it's a pattern always to the future. You know, like the Babylonians was there and the Assyrians and all that. And God used them. He even called the Babylonians, well, he called them his servant because they wouldn't obey him. And so he used them, what, to correct them. And it's a shame that has to happen. Same thing happened with Israel, the northern tribes. You know, the Assyrians were used to correct them. Well, they finally came out of it to a certain extent. But then 100 years later, the southern tribes should have realized what happened with the northern tribes, and they got right back in the same place. And so God brought judgment again. But the key thing God wants us to know with all this, he's going to remember these nations. That was his purpose. His purpose for those groups of people to be there, those kingdoms. But now we're talking about in the last days, God's got a couple of kingdoms that he didn't use for correction, but they came against the nation of Israel. And we know we've talked about Hanukkah in the past with Antiochus Epiphanes IV and what he did and all that. And so God's going to remember the time of Hanukkah during Jacob's trouble at the end here. Well, then we have this thing with the Persians as well. Well, he's going to remember that as well. So we got all these things to take a look at and to understand what God's trying to show us in these days. And so he's going to remember all that. And so Purim was an important time to reveal some things. And we talked about this for 2 weeks. And we found
you know, I just want to interject here. I like what you said at Purim about who the king represented and who the queen represented and who Mordecai represented. Because it's like you said, it's a picture of the church.
That's right.
And, you know, and it looks like things are really bad. But, you know, God still has, he's still on his throne. He's going to give the people victory like he did the Jews in those days. So
that's right.
I think sometime during this, to tell them, I think that was really good to understand. See, even because God's name's not mentioned all through that book of Esther.
That's right.
And, you know, her real name really wasn't Esther. That was her hidden name.
Hadassah was her
Hebrew name.
That's right.
But each one of those people represent. You want to tell them that? I think that
it's over in Esther. I think it's chapter 5. It talks about King Ahasuerus is a picture of God the Father, a pattern, okay? Mm-hmm. Esther's a picture and a pattern of Yeshua, okay?
Right.
She brought the salvation. And then Mordecai's a picture of all the people.
All the people.
And so we see all this even at the end of the book, you know. Esther has given Haman's house, and then she gives it to Mordecai, and then Mordecai is second in command, so his concern is with all the people. And so Jesus came to this earth because why? Because he was concerned about people. And so he left heaven, came down to this earth to walk on this earth for 33 and a half years. He came out of heaven, gave up all that, walked on this land for all of us. And what did he come for? He came, hallelujah.
Glory.
He came to bring deliverance to us and all that. We know, but he came to rescue us. He rescued us out of what? The power of sin and death that the enemy was trying to bring upon the people today. And he's still here to do that. That's what his purpose is.
That's right.
The Messiah came for that. Amen.
And Haman, he's a picture of the devil.
Sure he is.
And you know, and his sons are a picture of what's going to happen in the last day.
Those ten sons. That's right.
Would be considered 10 leaders, 10 kings, you know.
That's right.
And so, or nations. So, you know, 10, it's just interesting. And I thought also, you know, the king, he had to make the choice of, you know, he had the scepter. He's the one who said,
Yes or no?
Yes or no. You know, right. He's a judge.
Yeah.
He was the judge. And, you know, but you think about Mordecai, you said he represented the people.
All the people.
But, you know, the people always have a leader, always have somebody. But, you know, he wasn't a leader with a crown on, just like Jesus wasn't a leader with a crown on either.
When he was
on
the earth, that's right.
He was in sackcloth and ashes, and he was fasting, and he led the people and got the people to pray and fast. And
don't we think we
need to be praying and fasting in these days
with
all the things we see that are happening in the earth today?
That's right.
And different places throughout the earth. You know, there's Christians dying every single moment.
All around the world.
Having their head cut off. Children, even little children.
That's
that
right.
Are being,
churches being burned.
That are dying. That's right. Even in those days, they gather the Christians up, put them in a church and set it on fire. Well, those things are still happening to this day, you know, but still people are being saved, praise God. So, you know, but then the people all join together. See, what happens is it's not just one pastor or one church that's going to bring a revival. It's the pastors and the people
have
to come
together
and work together and pray and seek the Lord. And then we'll see this outpouring, this revival, this outpouring that God wants to have to bring in the rest of those who's going to come, because, you know, God has he has a certain number, you know.
That's right.
And so they're going to bring him in. You know, God knows about numbers. There's so many places where he talks about numbers in the Bible. You know, they even tell us exactly how many people were killed during that time.
And how many people came back from the captivity in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. The names are all, he knows exactly who was how many from each tribe came back.
That's right. And so God knows. He knows exactly how many numbers of people is in each of our families, you know. And he, you know, it's not that any should perish. And so it's up to us. It's up to the church. It's up to those people that would call Mordecai. So I'd call Mordecai a leader, because what did Mordecai end up receiving? He ended up receiving authority, and even the ring of authority, didn't he?
That's right.
He's receiving the ring of authority from the king. And who gives us authority? Jesus said he went. He says I'm going to paraphrase this. He went back to heaven. And he rose from the grave. He went back to heaven. He even told Mary not to touch him because he hadn't gone back to heaven. So he had. There were two hidden. There was one hidden resurrection.
That's right.
He went back to heaven. Then he came back and spent those days. Was it 40 days with his disciples and those that were close to him and the women and all, and preached the kingdom.
Things
of the kingdom.
More things about the kingdom.
More things about the kingdom. And he told them and he taught them he said that he had going to go back to heaven. They wouldn't want him to stay.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted him to stay. But he had to go back to heaven because he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and that we would have power and authority. So it's a picture of the king. He gave Mordecai that ring, which represented, and he also gave him a house.
Second in command, yeah.
Amen. He also gave him a house and gave him authority. And he put him in royal robes.
And he took over the house of the enemy.
That's right. And we're to take over the house. We're to take the enemy. Jesus has given us power and authority in his name.
That's right.
In his name. So that little book, you know, people don't really see the prophetic.
How special it is.
In the end times and how it's how you talk about it, people that are being persecuted. And, you know, Christians are being persecuted more and more. I mean, they're wanting to take crosses down.
Yeah.
They're wanting to do all. There's all kinds of things. They're coming against the cross. You know, it offends people. Well, it needs to do something. It needs to offend people so they'll get saved. Amen.
True.
So that's what the gospel's for, to bring the truth.
Amen.
And, you know, the enemy wants to stop it, just like Haman wanted to kill Mordecai.
And all the Jews.
And all the Jews. He didn't want to just kill one of them or two of them. He wanted to kill Mordecai because he knew he was an important person.
And Iran wants to do the same thing today.
Not only do people want to kill the Jews and destroy Israel, but people want to destroy the Christians.
Right.
Because we carry the gospel,
Amen.
The truth. And so here we're talking about truth. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So we have to speak the truth. It's going to offend some people. Right?
That's right. Sure will.
It will.
So God, he might offend you in your mind so he can get into your heart. Let's go back now and talk about, we were talking about these kingdoms. Now, we know God remembers what happened with the Persians because, you know, he didn't plan that, but it happened. He didn't plan Hanukkah either, but it happened. And so he remembers those times when these people came to try to destroy God's people.
He knew it was going to happen, though.
But he didn't plan. In other words,
right.
Purim and Hanukkah are not appointed times by the Father, okay, at all. but he remembers those things that happens. And so I want to look at a couple of things. We mentioned last week that we were going to show you how prophetically this is to the future. And Don's already mentioned Haman had 10 sons, and we see over there in the book of Esther, all 10 of those sons were killed. And so it's a picture of, you know, Haman's a picture of Hasatan, also the false Messiah. And so his sons are also a picture and a pattern of what of the 10 nations will be there at the end that's going to be in coalition with the false Messiah.
So you think that Purim is going to be be reenacted again.
It's going to be used again during Jacob's trouble. That's right. But what I want to do to clarify a couple of things with you before we read this, I want to go to Isaiah. I was thinking about this morning. I'm going to go to Isaiah 28. And you know, Israel...
So we don't just have a feast and then throw it out and say, oh, that's over.
That's right, we don't.
No, they're rehearsals, right?
That's right.
And just like Passover is a rehearsal.
That's
each
right.
one of these is a rehearsal of something that's going to happen in the last days, during the Great Tribulation.
Amen. Now I'm going to go to Isaiah 28 with you. If you're at home, you can open up the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you can't, listen real good. And like we said, if you want a CD or a tape, just give us a love offering and mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995, and we'll get it out to you. I'm going to start in verse 14.
Or they can call us at 772-285-7007.
I'm going to start in verse 14 of chapter 28. Listen to what the prophet said from the Lord, what he spoke to him. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now, I was thinking about this morning, Pastor Don. Here they're going to make a covenant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And an agreement, in other words.
With the devil,
it says,
right?
With death, okay?
Death.
And back in the day.
And with hell.
That's right. Back in those days when the Babylonians were going to come, most of the Jews wouldn't listen to what God was saying through the prophets. And so what did they do? They didn't think anything was going to happen to them. And so it tells you right here in this verse that we just read, verse 15, they thought the overflowing scourge, which is a picture and pattern of Jacob's trouble, shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. Well, they're thinking that today as well, most of the Jews, okay? Now, verse 16, listen to this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Well, we know that's who? That's Yeshua. See, so this is in the future, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. See, they're going to hide themselves. It tells you that in the book of Revelation at the end. Verse 18, and your covenant with death, listen to this, shall be what? Disannulled. God's going to cancel it because he's going to do something for Israel. And your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. This is talking about Jacob's trouble. Well, let's go on now. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow, his sheets, in other words, than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your hands, or your bands, I should say, be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. This is referring to the future, what? About Jacob's trouble. Now, with that in mind, because see, they made a covenant with death. I want you to go, we're going to go to the book of Daniel now, and then we're going to get to this chart. I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 9 with you. See if we can get this done here today. Daniel chapter 9. We talked about this the last 2 weeks a little bit, and before. I'm going to look at verse 27 all by itself in Daniel 9. 27. Listen to this. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right. Who's the he here? This is the false Messiah. And I like this. It doesn't say some of these Bibles say he's going to make a covenant. This says he's going to confirm. A covenant has already been established. We just read about it over there in Isaiah chapter 20. A covenant has already been confirmed, but one day it's going to be enacted. He shall confirm what? And some of these other Bibles say a covenant. This is the covenant. And
the
many.
Covenant.
The covenant. With many for 1 week, this is the Jewish people, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall what? Cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this is what God's showing Israel. These 70 weeks prophecy, we know what? 483 years came to pass. We're waiting for a number, what? The 70th week, 69 weeks has come to pass, but this one hasn't. So with that thought in mind, so I want to do this now. Now I want to go over to Daniel chapter 12 with you.
God never breaks a covenant.
He never breaks a covenant.
People.
Nope. And so remember, these two times, Purim and Hanukkah, was something that happened, and God knew it was going to happen, but it was not an appointed time or anything, but God's going to use that in these days to show us some things about the last days. Now we're going to go to chapter 12. Now for time's sake, I can't read the whole thing, but I want you to just look at verse 1 in chapter 12 of Daniel, and it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. So Michael's what? He's the mark angel for who? For Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, which as such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be what? Found written in the book, the Lamb's book of life, no other way, okay? Now, you can read the rest of it for yourself. Daniel's told down here in verse 4, though, to seal the book until the time of the end. We're in the time of the end now. So we know this chapter, you've listened to us for any length of time, and if you study the Word of God, this is the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. And when does it start? It starts at mid-tribulation. Okay, now let's do this. And I want to show you this chart. I mentioned last week, I want to show you how prophetic this is with Purim. I'm not going to look at everything. I'm going to look at verse 11 now. We're almost to the end of the book of Daniel. Now verse 11 says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh the desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. This is what I want to show you, well, how important this time is. That Esther's revealing this to us, but we have to have prophetic understanding to understand what God wants to show us to all this, okay? Now, we know, we just read in Daniel 9:27, that in mid-tribulation, what's going to happen? The daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and what? And, this little word and is a conjunction. To me, I look at this, it means that two things are going to happen at two different times. And I'm going to show you here today, hopefully, that the time between these two is 30 days, all right? And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be what? 1,290 days. Now, you don't have this chart, but we're going to offer this book to you if you want to get this. It's in this book. And I'm going to try to explain this real slow so you can see. You can't see it, but you can hear, okay? Now, this is a chart 6 in my book. And I want to show you, this is called the Great Tribulation. This chart covers the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble with all the events and how they're going to happen. They all line up with something that's happened with Israel or one of God's appointed times. All right? Now, we just read here that it says, from the day that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now, we just read in Daniel 9:27. When's that going to be? At mid-tribulation. That's at Passover, okay? Now, we know that the tribulation period is divided up into two sections of 3.5 years. In other words, on the lunar Jewish calendar, 1,260 days at the beginning and 1,260 days at the end. So it says right here at mid-tribulation, we just found this out, the sacrifice is going to be taken away. And we just read that over in Daniel 9:27. Now let's think about this now. I got this chart in front of me, so I'm going to try to explain it to you. Passover literally starts on Nisan 10 when they lay up the lamb, and then we know that the Messiah died on the 14th. So if we go from Nisan 10 on the Jewish calendar, and we go 1,260 days, we're going to come out to a time called, ready for this? The Day of Atonement. It comes to Tishri 10. Exactly. 1,260 days. Exactly. I'll say it again. From Nisan 10 we go exactly 1,260 days. This is in Revelation 13:5. We come to what? The Day of Atonement, which I believe with all my heart is going to be the second advent of the Messiah to come literally to the earth. Okay. Well, this prophecy we just read shows there's another what? Another 30 days. So we want to find out what are those other 30 days. All right.
What do you mean by second advent?
All right. We know he came the first time. He made his first advent, was born of his mother Mary, walked on this earth, died, and went back to be with his father.
Right.
And he's going to come back on the second advent, what, to put his foot again on the earth. The catching away, he doesn't come to touch the earth. He comes in the sky. This is when he literally comes back on his feet on the Mount of Olives to begin to establish the
Amen.
Kingdom of God. Amen. All right. So we just found out that the sacrifices at mid-tribulation were taken away. And we're going to see something here that's going to happen. The false Messiah will go in and desecrate the temple at Passover, okay?
Now, before that happens.
Right. No, at the same time, right after this. Now, the key things, we got these other 30 days. I'm going to read the scripture again. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and here's another time period, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So when I studied this years ago, and I've told our church this many times, I got confused because I was trying to figure out what are the other 30 days all about. God's showing us, so there's a mystery that you have to look at and have a prophetic mind. But he would begin to show me some things. And so I said, well, Lord, we know your word shows that mid-tribulation will start at Passover. That's when those two witnesses will be killed and lie in the street for 3.5 days. It's going to be at Passover, and they're going to be resurrected. So we know it starts at mid-tribulation. And so I said, well, Lord, what could these 30 days be? And so I started looking at my Bible, and we know that if the Jews in their day couldn't keep the Passover at the normal time, they were allowed to do it and keep it 30 days after the regular Passover, okay?
That's right.
But I found I didn't see anything in the scripture, whatever, in regards to that, where some kingdom or a group of people were going to come against the Jewish people at that time. And so then I got looking out at the end. Well, there's nothing out at the end either. If we go out 30 days past the Day of Atonement, there's really nothing out there in history that happened with Israel to any significance at all. And so then the Lord spoke to me. He says, how about looking 30 days before Passover? And we just came through this season. It's called Purim. Okay.
Exactly
30 days.
And exactly full moon.
That's right. And it's on a full moon. Okay. So Purim's on a full moon. Passover, when Jesus died, what? Was on a full moon. This is telling us something. We're talking about these blood moons.
Exactly
now.
30 days.
And so this is what happens. This is what I'm trying to show you. So what happened? The false Messiah will go in 30 days before Passover, and he's going to set up the abomination of desolation. In other words, he's going to have an image of the beast, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did in his day, and he declared himself to be God. So he's going to do that. He's going to declare himself to be God. Well, then 30 days later at Passover, he's going to stop all the sacrifices. Everything's going to end. He won't let the Jews do anything. They won't be able to read their Torah. They can't circumcise their children. They can't read the Torah, all the things that God wants them to do. He was going to change times and seasons. That's what he's going to do. Well, and so then at mid-trib, when all this happens, we know then what? The image is going to be set up, and then at mid-trib, he's going to go into the temple, and he's going to declare himself to be God.
And that's what he wanted to do.
That's right.
That's what Haman wanted to do as well.
That's
change
right.
Change times and seasons.
That's right. So that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about him going into the temple and declaring himself to be God. It makes it real clear over there.
That's right.
So this is how we come up with the other 30 days. So if we go from Purim, okay, like we said, and we go out 1,290 days, we're going to come again to what? To the Day of Atonement on a Tishri 10, okay? 1,290 days. This is in Daniel 12:11 that we're reading right now, okay? And so this is interesting. So if you look at this picture, then you can see all this. And so it just all fits together. God's wanting to show us something that's going to happen again. And the events in the history of Israel, all these Kairos times and moments that went along, they're going to all be added up. And we'll see this at the end. So the chart is worth so much if you draw. And so my beautiful wife made these charts. They did a beautiful job on them. And it's real clear when you look at it. It's really clear. I might just throw another one on. We got plenty of time for this. There's another scripture right after Daniel 12:11, which is 12:12. And it says there's going to be 1,335 days. Well, then here, what do we got here now? Huh? What do we got? We got another 75 days. So what are those all about? And they used to bug me. I looked at all the commentaries. I couldn't find anything that was even similar to that. Although Dake's Bible did have, the Dake's Bible, good commentary and all, had some thoughts about it, but didn't really go into great detail about it. But think about it. We talked about Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, okay? Huh? Isn't that what it's all about? Well, Antiochus did what he did in his day. And so God's going to remember that as well, because that kingdom was there. That was a Seleucid Empire that came out of what? The Grecian Empire after Alexander the Great died. So I kept saying, well, what could this be? Well, I'll just show this to you real quick. If we go from Passover again, it starts on Nisan 10, and we go out 1,335 days, it says in Daniel 12:12, you'll come out, hallelujah, you're going to come out to the first day of Hanukkah on Kislev 25. Wow. So and that's when the temple is going to be rededicated. Maccabees and his brothers and the team that got together when they took back Jerusalem, what did they do? They rededicated the temple on these dates. So it's going to be used again in the end, even though this is not an appointed time by God. But God's going to remember what happened with the Seleucids that came against the Jews. They wanted to destroy them. But a handful of people again, it wasn't just two, it was a handful there that took Jerusalem back and took the city back. And we see with Mordecai and Esther, two people save the nation. So that's the key, I think, with all my heart. The prophetic implications of Purim that we have over there when we see the 10 sons were hung on the gallows and all that, and what the false Messiah is going to do. So what's going to happen to the false Messiah out here? he's going to get destroyed, isn't he, at the end and during this time called Jacob's trouble. And I'm going to say this. It's called Jacob's trouble. I'm going to say it again. It's called Jacob's trouble. I'm going to say it again. It's Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's not about us. It's not about the church. It's about Israel. These scriptures we just read here in Daniel, these were all being spoken to Israel. But we can draw something off of it prophetically in the future to show us something that God's going to put in place on the exact dates. And there's a theme behind all these. There's a theme behind all. You know, what's Purim? Was Purim deliverance? Sure it was. How about Passover? That was deliverance. Huh? You know, when Jesus came out of the grave, he delivered us from the power of sin and death. So they all have a theme that we need to understand about what God's trying to show us there. Hanukkah was a time of what? Deliverance again. We see all this. And so God's showing a different scenario, but the times of the year, he wants us to remember that. And it's all going to fit in on his Kairos times on this last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. So when I look at this, what we have here, you know, you think about it, we've got we have the 1290 days, okay, and we have the 1,335 days. It takes us out to Hanukkah. And so you'll see that the conclusion of all, if you look at it real close, how it's all going to fall in place. And the beauty, I always think about Hanukkah, you know, on Kislev 25, we're going to all be there. We're going to get to see that temple rededicated. You ought to get excited about that.
Awesome.
So that's, I think that's a key thing, other than knowing and showing in Esther that God was going to use his people somehow to what? To deliver them from their problems. Okay. Moses delivered them, didn't he? And then what? Then Joshua delivered them when they came into the promised land. It was at Passover. There was a deliverance. So okay. God's showing this. You know, Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. Okay. Well, there was a deliverance that came with God's people the same way. And so who got destroyed? He did. And his 10 sons. And so those 10 nations will be there at the end. They will all go down as well. And we know that the false Messiah, the Bible tells us they'll be cast alive, it says, into the lake of fire. Isn't that incredible?
So you think about all of those, who knows, hundreds of thousands of people that come against the Jewish people.
Today.
But yet, even as with Esther and Mordecai, just a small number, a small group, like Gideon's army, God gave them, they had the authority to do battle.
Absolutely.
And you know, Jesus, even though the people think that the devil is so powerful, he's powerful, sure, but God's given us authority in the name of Jesus to overcome all the works of the darkness in
Amen.
Our life.
Amen. It's incredible what we have.
And whatever sin that may be troubling us or besetting us, we have the power and the anointing to be delivered.
Absolutely.
To walk in righteousness, to walk in God's truth. Just like we opened up talking about the truth, you know. And you, of course, you always talk about my scripture, Matthew 6:33. And I see it misquoted so many times. People leave out the center part of that verse.
Got it.
You know, we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
That's right.
And doing things the right way. When you do things the right way, see Esther and Mordecai, you know, he told her, he says, you know, if you don't do what God, you're supposed to do, I'm paraphrasing this, God will raise up somebody else.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And she came to that conclusion after spending time praying and fasting. You know, she wasn't just not eating or going on some diet. You know, some people go on a fast and they don't pray. They just go on a diet. They think they're fasting because they're not eating because they want to lose weight. That's not a fast.
That's
not praying and fasting. You know, praying and fasting is entirely different. You must be praying and fasting if you're going to fast. Otherwise, why fast? Or why call it a fast? You know, why just call it a diet?
Amen.
Right? But and the things that people pray and say they're fasting is just ridiculous, I think, because they fasted food and water for
three days.
Well, she came to the decision, and she said,
If I die, I'm going to die.
If I perish, I perish.
Right.
You know, she said, I'm going to do what I'm
God
supposed
to
do.
That's
I'm
right.
called. She knew who she was. She knew she was called for such a time as that. And, you know, the favor of the Lord was upon her. And so she had the favor from the king, and he granted them to be able to write another decree. And Jesus has written a decree for us to
That's
overcome
right.
the powers of the enemy. It's by his blood.
Hallelujah.
It's by the blood. It's the blood of God. Amen. And so we can walk in healing. We can walk in deliverance, even though 1,000 may come against us or 10,000. The Bible says that they're going to fall.
That's right.
And so we need to pray for Israel. How many people come against Israel? How much of the church
doesn't pray for Israel?
Thinks the church is taken over.
That's right.
Replace them. But no, God has not changed. God is married to Israel, and he has not changed. Just like you said, he hasn't made a new commandment. He hasn't
That's
changed
right.
his mind about his people.
They can twist a lot of scripture, but it's still not
and
true.
And even though there are how many people around him, I mean, countries, nations all around that little place of Israel.
That's right.
You know, they have the favor of the Lord, and they will rise up and they will defend themselves. God will be their warrior.
And I think Esther had a clue though about something was going to happen. Like we sense now that something major is going to happen. Maybe this year or next year. She had a clue because she probably didn't understand why would her cousin Mordecai tell her not to reveal her nationality, that she's Jewish. Remember,
right.
That was to be hidden till later, and so it wasn't revealed until what, the second banquet,
mm-hmm.
and when Haman was there, and then she exposed him to the king.
She exposed the enemy, and that's what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
We don't tap him on the back. We don't tap sin on the bat and say, oh well, you know, they don't know any better. We have to expose the works of the darkness.
Amen.
And that's what will reveal the light. So when Christians start exposing the work of darkness, even the things that are happening in our, even, you know, Facebook is so popular and all these things, speak the truth. You see something wrong on there, speak what God says. You know, so many people are posting things that have to do with the Bible. And you know, some of us
make sure it's true.
Some of us not true.
That's
so,
right.
So you know, don't be afraid that you're going to offend somebody. Speak the truth in love.
Hallelujah.
And you know, it's the truth. Well, the truth will make us free. It says the Bible says the truth will make you free. And so we want to be free. And
Amen.
So that's what we need, to speak the truth. You know, gentleness and kindness is wonderful. We need to be gentle and kind and loving and love our neighbor and you know and not hate. You know, we need to love our enemy as well.
That's right.
But we need to also speak the truth in love.
Love.
Because that allows the Spirit of God to go into somebody's heart. See, it's the heart. It's
Absolutely.
The heart that has to believe. It's the heart that has to change.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a heart change, then, you know, all things, God can work any situation out, any problem that you might be having, because you have a heart after God.
Amen. Let's do something else now. Now, we know there was no abomination of desolation set up in Persia in that time with Mordecai and Esther. But the guy that was going to come later, you know, this Antiochus, he did this. I want to go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a few minutes here. And we'll see there was a pattern back there of this guy. There was a pattern of a false Messiah. We're going to see the same thing happen again. If you read Daniel chapter 11, it shows there's two abominations of desolations in that chapter. One was what? With Antiochus. Okay, and the other was what? In the future.
You know, I think this is just coming to me, and I don't really have the answer, but God always does something during the seasons, every season.
Sure
he doesn't
does.
Miss up. He doesn't miss one, I don't believe.
He always
but
does it.
I'm just wondering, Pastor Gene, if we really study the life of Jesus in the last two or three months of his life, I wonder what was happening that month of Adar. 30,
yeah.
You know, because the enemy
before,
was
a month
working,
before he died,
was,
yeah.
was working to
sure.
stop
oh,
what
yeah.
was going to happen. And even when they cast lots or purr in those days, you know, God had that to fall on those days.
That's right. Judas might have done that with the money and all 30 days before Passover. We don't know what happened.
We don't really know, but I think if we really study it out, we might get a clue, because, you know, those mysteries, it says the hidden mysteries are for us to find out
That's
and
right.
to seek.
They're
so,
here.
You know, that just came to me. I'm thinking, well, exactly what was going on
That's right.
30 days? What was going
before
on?
Before his death.
On Adar
14 and 15
of the month before the resurrection.
That's right. Incredible. Good thought.
Mm.
So let's read a little bit of chapter 2 here. We got about 10 minutes.
Amen.
It says, Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now this is talking about not the resurrection. This is talking about the catching away. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, see, some people thought it was at hand. Then he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come what? A falling away. I think we're in that now. But this word also can mean a departure or vanishing from the earth. You know, I think at the rapture, or I should say the catching away and the resurrection, the falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The only other person that was called the son of perdition was who? That was Judas, okay? Who opposeth this guy and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now this is just like Antiochus did. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Isn't
Amen.
That incredible?
God.
Remember
God.
Ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. All right? And then he goes on and tells us what's going to hold all this back. And verse 8 says, and then shall the wicked be revealed. Who's this? The false Messiah, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When's that going to be? At the end of Jacob's trouble. Even him whose coming is after what? The working of Hasatan, Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness, that's a big word, of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because what? They receive not the love of the truth, but they did not receive, they received not, I should say, the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is right here in 2 Thessalonians, the second, abomination of desolation, it will be set up. And it's an amazing thing. You know, I hear people talk all the time, the false Messiah is going to do all these miracles. If you read the Bible real close, you know who does all the miracles? The false prophet does it in his presence, in the false Messiah's presence. It's right in the Word of God. So he's not the one, the false prophet's going to do it. And so we don't know where he's going to come from. Who knows what's going to happen, who that will be. But anyway, there's got to be a connection at the end, because it's going to be a religious system there as well. And we know that. And so at that point, at mid-tribulation, the false Messiah is going to take him. He'll be the government, the finances. He'll be all of it. He'll be the religious group, just like Khomeini was years ago with Iran, way back years ago. And so he'll do all of that. He's going to be in charge of everything. Mm. And that's when all hell's going to break loose on the earth. So God's given us these things right here that we got in Esther and all to show that God's people will always have the victory if we do what God tells us to do. Esther had to obey God. And, of course, she prayed for those 3 days to find out how God wanted her to accomplish this. And, you know, when she asked for that first banquet with the king and found favor, when she touched the scepter, when she shouldn't have been in the court, she already had that banquet prepared. She knew it was already there. And so they went to the banquet.
She knew who she was.
Yeah, and then the king asked her, well, what's your desire up to half of my kingdom? She says, can you come to another banquet tomorrow with just me and Haman again? And so he agreed to that. And so then they came the next day, and what happened? That was when Haman was exposed. And we told you last week, if you listened, that the day that he was exposed and put on the gallows was Nisan 17, the exact day, a few hundred years in the future, that Jesus Christ would be what?
Come out of the grave.
Come out of the grave for all of us, and he delivered us.
Nisan 17.
That's right, on Nisan 17. So, Mordecai and Esther, what? They were two that God used, what? To save the nation of Israel. And God always has somebody available to do that. So he's trying to encourage us to not be discouraged, not to be afraid, no matter what's going on. God is in control, and he will have the victory. The Bible says you have the victory, all right? And I'm reminded about this, and we have people talking all the time about, well, we're gonna go through the tribulation. I want to show you something real quick. We've got 6 minutes. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen to this now. He goes through all this about the catching away. First of all, he talks about the resurrection of those out from among the dead, and then what? Those that are going to be caught off the earth. Now, I like this. Verse 17 says, in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, then we which are alive and remain, that means we're alive, we're in Christ, shall be caught up together with them who was dead. Those were all the ones that came out of the graves in the clouds. You know, the ones that came out of the graves that knew Yeshua, they came out, they were resurrected to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to this. If we were going to go through all this hell that everybody's talking about, this verse which would not be in the Bible. Paul says, wherefore, comfort one another, what? With these words. All right? And I believe with all my heart, Paul thought they were going to go one day. He knew the kingdom was way off in the future before the kingdom was going to be totally established on the earth. But he thought he was going to be caught off the earth one day. All right? So he told all his disciples, all those over there, comfort yourself one another with these words. Now, glory be to God. Now I'm going back. Verse 15 says this. This is very important. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I marked that in my Bible years ago. By the word of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. By the word of the Lord. And we got people telling us today that this thought about the catching away and all was something some woman began to teach in 1825 or somewhere around there. Well, it's right here in the Bible. He told you exactly what it's all about. And he got 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. Even further proof about that. And so this is key. So if we're going to go through all this, God's going to deliver us. Jesus came to deliver us. He's going to deliver us from the power of sin and death and all that. So there's going to be Him and His group will take care of it, amen? So we can comfort ourselves with these words to know that we're not going to be here. And so we have to understand that. And so we have a victory. Esther and Mordecai didn't die, did they? And all their people didn't die, did they? None of them died. They all came through that period of time. And if you study the little book of Esther from beginning to end, it's a period of about 10 years before it was completely fulfilled. And so here we got this Jacob's trouble is only going to be 3.5 years, but the whole tribulation is going to be what? 7 prophetic years on God's lunar calendar, 2,520 days from beginning to end. So we see all this, and so God's showing us that. So why do we have all the confusion in the church today about When are we going to go? When's this going to happen? What are we going to do? You know, is it going to be mid? Is it going to be pre? Is it going to be post-tribulation? What if, the Bible makes it quite clear, I believe with all my heart, what is. And if we don't have any other theory than pre-tribulation with the resurrection, the catching away, all the other verses will not fit together like a glove. You'll have to take some of those verses that people teach on with this when they try to teach you that it's not going to be at the beginning. You have to allegorize those. In other words, you're going to say, well, this verse says this, but it really means something else. Well, the thing when they say it means something else, it's what they think it means, okay? We got to take the word literally for what it says. Aren't we glad? The Holy Bible. We take it literally. It's the truth. This is the truth. There's no relative truth. This is the truth. We talked about those boundaries. This is what gives us those boundaries in our lives. And people have to understand, even each other, with each other, we all should have boundaries, don't we? Certain areas that we don't need to cross, we find out how people respond and react, and we just don't do that, okay?
So we need to stay within the boundaries of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And, well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton.
Well, we still got about 3 minutes, baby.
On this program. I just want to make sure I get our phone number in. Hallelujah. When he gets going, it's just awesome. Praise God. And we want to pray for you guys out there because we know some of you are going through some tough times.
Yes, Lord.
And we just want to bless you. And I pray that this radio broadcast and also on the internet
will encourage you.
Encourage you and a blessing to you. Know that we're in the last days and the time is short. Jesus is coming back for the church. So we need to be ready. We need to have, we're the bride. Amen. Just like Esther, we need to put on her
royal garments, which
amen.
Went before the king.
Amen. God's going to, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And we're going to be out of here, praise God. But there's going to be a lot of things happen in the earth in the next
few years.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be here. So I want to let you know that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and we spend worship time and just seeking God's presence and good teaching and amen. We have fellowship afterwards, and that's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then on Friday night we have our Shabbat service. And somebody say, well, what is that? That's just seeking God's presence and coming and worshiping the Lord together as one body. And different people come, not always all the ones from our church, but different people come because a lot of people are really hungry for the Shabbat, you know. And we have communion and we spend time seeking God's presence. Amen. That's important. It's one of the most important things that we need to do is know His Word and seek His presence. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then on Saturday, today, we will have Bible school this afternoon at 4 p.m. this afternoon. And so come if you'd like to. We're in Stuart, Florida. We're right on Canner Highway. Not too difficult to find. And you can give us a call if you'd like that. If you'd like a copy of this teaching, the CD teaching, or a tape, or if you're interested in Pastor Gene's commentary, which is $25 plus $3 shipping
and handling,
and it will give you all the things, a lot of things that people are starting to hear, because you know you've been teaching this for many years, but now we're hearing a lot of people starting to teach this about the calendar and about the moons and all these different things. You can call us and get information for that. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we tell you every week as we close this program, we're on here because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in their life to a greater dimension and a closer walk with God. So as we close every week, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.